Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think so many times of how that the Lord gives to us a burden to bear. He gives to us a testimony to share, and so often we are silent about what we are to be doing here, and we will become idle or find ourselves doing the wrong thing because we're not doing the right thing. We're not doing the thing the Lord assigned us to do. You think of the number of trials that God's people go through, and you would think that, well, because we belong to Him, that we would be exempt from a number of the trials. Well, we don't have to be exempt from this matter of having the assurance of our salvation. You don't have to doubt about your salvation. Now, you will have to go through trials, but you don't have to doubt of God's love. You have the Word of God for you. You have the work of Christ upon the cross before you. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in you as a Christian, and every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, you must learn to live by faith. Faith is seeing what God has said and governing your life according to what He has said, making that choice. This is what the Lord has said. I will rest in this. And many times Christians will have trials upon trials upon trials. But one thing about being a Christian with a trial is that we have comfort, and we have the Comforter with us, and we have the assurance that the Lord is not going to let these things overtake us to our destruction. You know, there are people who will say, oh, I know the Lord will never put on me more than I can bear. Now, there are times when the Lord does let an illness take us into His presence. But does that mean He has abandoned us or forgotten us? Oh, He has not. The Lord has not forgotten. The Lord has not abandoned us. We are His, and He has loved us with an everlasting love. I'd like to just close the devotional portion of today's message with this thought that we all have opinions. And it's easy for us to believe that our opinion is the only one that the world ought to hear. Anybody who does not agree with our opinion, we many times will just write them off and think of them as being beneath our dignity for conversing or for conversation. Now, opinions. Just because you see a thing as it is doesn't mean everybody is seeing it as they are. I'm on this side of the microphone. You're on that side. You hear what is being said. I, on this side, see something altogether different. You're on that side, and you hear the sound coming through the radio. And where you are, you view things quite differently than what I do. I'm in a room that's well lighted. You might be in the night. You might be in a car. I'm in a room in a building. You might be in a truck or some other vehicle. You might have this on a recording. And on your side, things look one way, on mine, and we're hearing the same message. We're talking together. But your opinion of things are different from my opinion of things, and they're just opinions. Now, when there are facts that are set before us, those facts stand on their own. The observation of the facts. We talk about the ocean. The ocean is. The sky. The sky is. The air we breathe, it exists. The Lord has made it. The earth on which we stand, these are facts. Say, my opinion of a world ought to be, well, that doesn't make any difference. The fact is, the way the world is, the way the water is, the way the ocean is, God made these things. And don't elevate your opinions to the position of being a sovereign truth. And I think we'll get along quite well like that through life if we don't have that idea about our thinking. Heavenly Father, help us to see that Thou alone art God, and beside Thee there is none else. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now let's go on in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and we're down at verse 35 when Moses has received the instructions from the Lord. The people have been sinning while Moses is up on the mount in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is very much aware of these two situations. He's aware of Moses' desire to be with the Lord and Moses' desire to have the power and the blessings of the Lord. He knows all of this. And at the same time, down in the valley, down at the base of the mount, the people are in great sin. And the Lord sees both of these. And he knows out of that group that is sinning, which group is to be his, which group will be shown mercy. He sees all of this. And that's the way the Lord does know and does work. Now, after he has allowed Moses to deal with the people because of their sin, the scriptures tell us in verse 34 of Exodus 32, "Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee." Notice these things. After the Lord had dealt with them for their sin, he does not say, "Well, I'm going to let them alone for a while," but right away, he is ready to lead in their lives and to bring them to the place where he has them to go. Also, after Moses had administered this judgment upon this people, Moses is now instructed to turn around and to start leading this people to God's place of choosing, to the place that the Lord has for them. Now, Moses was not to be nursing a grudge as he did this, and the Lord instructs him further, "Mine angel," and that angel is capitalized there, indicating deity, "shall go before thee." And this is a picture of the shepherd having dealt with the wayward sheep. He now loves the wayward sheep and still leads them on, going before them. "Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." And so the sin does leave its mark. Sin, you can say, well, the very fact that we die, the very fact that we get sick indicates that the world is under the curse of sin. Now, in heaven, there is no more death because heaven has no curse of death, no mark of sin. Heaven has no curse of sin upon it. But in hell, there is eternal death. There is all death there because that's what happens, and that's the penalty, and that's the judgment that has fallen upon those who are without the Lord. So because of the sin, a mark is left upon them. The relationship with the Lord has been broken, and the Lord has restored the relationship. Moses has the responsibility of leading the people, even though they have gone astray from the Lord. And the threat is this, that he will remember their sin against them, and they will have to be dealt with. Now, when the Lord deals with a sin, see, this is one that, of course, they will be reminded of this. And when you are not mindful of your failure, you are prone to do the same thing again. When you forget that you have the capability of going from the Lord, you may act arrogantly. You may be lifted up in pride. The Lord will deal with that. And of course, he can show mercy. But he wants us to be mindful of the pit out of which we were digged, lest we fall again. The weights that we bear, they keep us up. They keep us up. Say, a weight keep us up? Yes. They keep us up to the level at which God wants us to be. If you didn't have any weights, you'd float up so high and be lifted up so high in pride, you'd be of no use to anyone. They keep us up to God's level. And you know these scuba divers, they have to put on weights around their waist to keep them down so that they can go down deep. And there are certain things the Lord uses to weigh us down, to take us to the place of his choosing, his learning. And many times it has to be that we are mindful of our past failures that will take us deep into the Word of God to do our diligent study. It'll take us close to the Lord that we might seek to be rid of the burden we are bearing. The Lord has a way of helping and strengthening and comforting. And here he tells Moses, "And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made." Notice how that is written. He plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Now, who's responsible? Yes. Aaron or the people? Yes. Aaron was the one who carried out the plan of the people, but it was the mindset of the people. The people wanted this, and, you know, churches will go down a road like this. This is, I think, the same kind of situation that Saul had. The people wanted me to keep the best. Well, the very fact that the people ask for something that God had condemned indicates the heart and the condition of the people, that they were wrong. They were not rightly related to the Lord. And, of course, the judgment was upon them, but at this particular time, it was the judgment upon Saul. The Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. In verse 1 of chapter 33 now, as we continue on forward, "The Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, go from this place, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it." Now they're moving toward this land. This is before they have the chance to send out the spies into the land. And the Lord is telling them, you move in that direction of the promise. This is an exercise of faith, moving toward the place where the Lord would have them to be. So you must leave what you have here. You've sinned at this point. You've been judged and chastened severely at this point. You've received instructions from the Lord at this point. Now go to the place that I would have you to serve me. Let's read the verse again. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart again, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it." So a promise is about to be fulfilled if they will follow through on faith and in faith to believe that God intends to do what he said. I promised this to Abraham. I promised this to Isaac. I promised it to Jacob. Now I'm telling you to go in and to possess your possessions. Secondly, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites. So the angel is going before, driving out the inhabitants of the land, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I'm sending an angel to drive them out. Just follow my instructions. You know, the instructions of the Lord are very clear, but our sinful nature is so exceedingly sinful that it overrides so often the clear instructions of God's Word. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessings and thy power upon us. Help us, Lord, to hear, to receive thy truth, to do thy bidding. And we'll be careful to give thee the glory, the honor, and the praise. For Jesus' sake, amen.